Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. June 24th is appointed in the church year, the church calendar, to be a celebration of the nativity, or the birth, of St. John the Baptist. Several times, indeed, during the church year, the people of God celebrate the gift of life that we know as children. For the Lord gives children. And grateful parents receive such gifts to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That these great gifts we know as our kids are lent by the Lord to their parents so that the parents would raise them in the faith. Yet too many times, parents fail in this. And too often the focus falls for their children to be on the earthly things while forsaking those spiritual things. This will be a judgment upon many who have so half-heartedly paid attention to their children's spiritual needs. Lord, have mercy. Indeed. At the birth of a child, it is common to wonder about what that child will experience in his or her life. What will they be like? What will they do? Who will they marry? How will they serve their neighbors? Prayers then ascend from family and friends alike about the child's future. And yes, little anxieties already start to build in the hearts of that mom and dad. Zechariah, John's dad, had been taught the hard way to disregard God's word and what the cost of that would be. While even serving in the temple, while being in church, he had laughed at the suggestion that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a child in such old age. He lost the ability to speak for his irreverence in the face of the Lord's word. But he learned from it. Humility learns from God's rebuke. Evil pride lashes back and rebels further. Zechariah and Elizabeth's son would be named John. This was part of the sign and the promise of who he would be. They had accepted this gift of this child from the Lord. They knew what this meant. The Messiah, the Christ, was coming. And John was going to be the voice in the wilderness crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord." After many years of hope and waiting, the time for the Christ had come. It was the perfect time. And John was going to be an essential part of all of this, promised himself by God to be the forerunner, raising up valleys and leveling out the high places in his preaching. The break from that family tradition that you heard about in the gospel lesson in naming him John showed the pattern for John's life. God's word would be more important than anything else for John. John's preaching would have a singular focus in a zeal that makes normal folks uneasy. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew this and signaled this in this child's name. And this change, noted by their family and their neighbors, caused fear and awe. They wondered what this meant amongst the people and the extended family. They asked the question, what then will this child be? The answer is, he'd be the forerunner, for the hand of the Lord was upon him. Far from wonder and awe about these earthly things, Zechariah is finally able to speak again, and he doesn't waste any time speaking. He moves on to bless God. And see how he blesses God. He declares the great promises of God, The highest praise of God that any of us can offer involves faithfully confessing God's own word before Him and others in this world. So Zechariah prophesied. He spoke from the word of God concerning the things of God that were coming with the birth of John. What's interesting is Zechariah speaks, he starts out his blessing God, his prophecy, by speaking in the past tense. That the Lord has visited, the Lord has redeemed. These things which were yet to come, because Christ had was coming, but was still had work to do, these things which are yet to come with the birth of Jesus, the ministry of John, and the salvation of all by the works of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary, Zechariah speaks as though they are already done. You see, faith in God sees the promises of God this way. St. Paul does this when he speaks about heaven. He speaks like in a way that we're already there, even while we're here. That God has promised and that God is so trustworthy we can count on it to be done, even though we haven't seen it unfold yet. It's as good as done already. Zechariah announces the redemption of the people of God. He announces that salvation has come. And then he speaks about his son, just like any parent, but quite differently in that he speaks something about God's word and his son. He speaks about his son only in relation to the one who would come after his son, which is the pattern of John's ministry, speaking about Christ, not about John. He says, Zechariah says of John, he says, John, son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord Jesus, to prepare His way, to give knowledge of salvation to Jesus' people through the preaching of the Word, to give salvation by the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, not by some new legal code or works of men to save themselves, but that all of this will become part of the tender mercy of our God, not because of any merit or worthiness in men, that light will come down from on high through Jesus Christ to those who are lost in darkness, the darkness of sin, original sin, and the curse of the law. That life will come to those who stand in the shadow of death. That this son's preaching will guide the people's feet into the way of peace, that is, into the way of faith in Christ, the narrow way of belief instead of the wide path of works that leads to darkness and destruction. No, the way of faith. Faith in Christ, which brings the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. This is this father's words about his son John at his birth. It is a beautiful song that relies upon the word of God, the promises that have been made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. It is sung in faith. Zechariah praises God by speaking God's word, by believing it to be true for him, for his wife, for his neighbors, for his son, for indeed for all those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. Now, this zealous and faithful song of the Father marks the life of John the Son. Scripture teaches us that John is indeed always focused on the Christ. He did not waver in his expectation of the Christ as he declared the harsh judgment of God upon sin, teaching and baptizing for repentance. That John is there to declare Christ Jesus, and he declares him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is there to baptize Jesus in humble submission to Jesus' own command. Suffer to be so for now, for it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus told John. And John said, Amen, and did it. That John is there to continue to decrease, while Christ Jesus increased. How many people do you know who do that as they grow older? That John is there to condemn the immorality of powerful men like King Herod to the end of his life as he is martyred for his strong stance in speaking the message of repentance, and especially about godly marriage. That John fulfills everything that God sent him to do. He prepared the way for Jesus. He decreased so that Jesus would increase. He preached and he taught. He admonished and rebuked and declared the promises of God until he was executed for being faithful. Zechariah was right. The neighbors and the extended family at his birth were right to be fearful at this child's birth. And John was right. He declared a salvation that comes by Jesus. That was the most important thing in his life. His parents had made it so. John grew up that way, strong in the Lord, strong in the Spirit, strong but never proud. John's life still rebukes us today as we fail as parents, as we value our families and our traditions more than the Word of God, as we think too much of the world all around us, as we refuse to repent in humility, as we maybe despise our Lord and His gifts, maybe even here in His holy place as we hear His Word, as we dabble with death and evil, and we never really fully believe the words of warning that come from God's preachers for our lives, as we respect the high and mighty and important ones and show them favor, as we fail to think and fail to live with Christ Jesus as our focus of faith and love. That John's life indeed rebukes us all. But in spite of this, the message of John stands. That Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That in Christ Jesus, John received the forgiveness of his sins. And that same forgiveness of sins that Christ Jesus gives to you in his word and sacrament is today here for you. That as God had shown his tender mercies upon the nation of Israel in Zechariah's time, God has had tender mercy upon you in your time. That today you are being visited from on high. That the darkness has disappeared as the light of God's word shines. And that the shadow of death is disappearing to reveal to you the eternal life of heaven that comes from the completed work of Christ who went to prepare a place for you. That your feet indeed by God's word have been guided back onto the way of peace, the way of faith in Christ, rebuked in all of our sinful steps and now shown the gracious path of forgiveness that Christ Jesus has put before you. That you have comfort in the face of all your sins and guilt, because Christ Jesus forgives your sins and takes away your guilt. That in the face of broken families and failed promises, you have a family of God. In the face of the darkness and the hopelessness of this world, with all of its fake glory, you have light and hope and the glory of the world to come. Because of the one whom John proclaimed, the one who came after John, the Christ. And that this gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of our sins, it changes our families, our traditions, our parenting, our living out our lives in this world that is lost and growing darker. That Christ Jesus is your salvation. He is the tender mercy of our God for you. And that changes you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.